From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. In verses 8 through 15 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of his personal knowledge of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is not simply preaching theological concepts. He had experienced the life-changing effect of the gospel in his own life, and his one desire was to make that gospel known to as many people and nations as possible. In the text before us, Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. He rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel to transform sinners into saints through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, as written by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Divine Cultivation. The text is Isaiah 27, verse 3. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. When the Lord Himself speaks in His own proper person, rather than through a prophet, the word has a peculiar weight to believing minds. It is Jehovah Himself who is the keeper of His own vineyard. He does not trust it to any other, but He makes it His own personal care. Are they not well kept whom God Himself keeps? We are to receive gracious watering, not only every day and every hour, but every moment. How we ought to grow! How fresh and fruitful every plant should be! What rich clusters the vines should bear! But disturbers come, little foxes and the boar. Therefore the Lord Himself is our guardian, and that at all hours, both night and day. What then can harm us? Why are we afraid? He tends, He waters, He guards. What more do we need? Twice in this verse the Lord says, I will. What truth, what power, what love, what immutability we find in the great I will of Jehovah. Who can resist His will? If He says, I will, what room is there for doubt? With an I will of God, we can face all the hosts of sin, death, and hell. O Lord, since Thou sayest, I will keep Thee, I reply, I will praise Thee.
Extol Thee, bending wings.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
theme of verses 8 through 12 is very simple. It's the gospel, the foundation and the fullness of the Christian life. And in discussing that, Paul used his own experience to illustrate the point, and so will we. I want us to look first at verse 8, where we have Paul's thanksgiving. He says, first, there's a lot, believe it or not, there's a lot has been said on that one word, first. First. And a lot of good things have been said on it. Lloyd-Jones, for example, likes to, the word is expatiate on this. Because first seems to indicate that there's going to be a second. That's what I love about Paul. I told you he was a Free Presbyterian. He never got to the second. So don't blame me the next time that happens. He never got to point two. He just said first. Lloyd-Jones makes the point that this happens quite a lot in Paul's writings. That he starts to make a point and he gets carried away with the glory and the grandeur of it. That he's not worried about having the form of a speech. He's not worried about having it all perfectly wrought out as a work of literary art. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. He was an instructor of men. He was a winner of souls. He was a shepherd of sheep. He was not there to show what a skillful literary pen he had. A lot of truth in that. So many preachers are so worried about, and I believe, and all the students here have got to turn their ears off at the moment, because I'm employed to teach them homiletics, and they've got to learn the craft of how to use and build on a text. But there's so many preachers who are more bound to their notes than they're bound to. They're more bound to their little form than they are to the truth. I was talking about emotion a minute ago. If a preacher preaches without emotion, I don't think he can preach at all. He shouldn't be a preacher. He might be a garage hand. He may be filling shelves at Bilo, and that's a perfectly good job. I'm not despising the job, but he shouldn't be a preacher. He could be president of the United States, but he shouldn't be a preacher. If he can preach the gospel without it stirring his own emotions, he has no right to be in the pulpit. Because the gospel is bound to produce this emotion within you. Must do it. Paul found that, and that's why he had a first without a second. Actually, I don't think he has a first without a second. That's why I quoted Lloyd-Jones. I think Paul is just saying, look, first and foremost. He's not saying, I'm going to give you a list of things, but he says, first and foremost, this is the thing that's on my mind. This is the thing that's leading me to write to you. This is the thing that's filling and thrilling my heart. I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of. The word is proclaimed. That your faith, not the gospel, mark you, though that would be true. But he's saying your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world. And of course, he's talking about the Roman world, the empire. So here's his thanksgiving. And when you look at it, you'll find that he's rejoicing particularly in three things. He's rejoicing in the efficacy. What is efficacy? It is the power to produce its desired result. He is rejoicing in the efficacy of the merits of Christ. Now watch it carefully. Here was Paul writing to a church where? In Rome. In Rome. Rome, the capital of the heathen world. Rome with its multitude of gods. Rome from which the Jews, because of their monotheism, had just been thrown out by the Emperor Claudius. And he's writing to the church in Rome. A church that had never seen an apostle. Now, some of the people had met Paul in other places, but no apostle had ever been to Rome. The church in Athens was founded by an apostle. The church in Corinth was founded by an apostle. The church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, and all the church in Colossae, the churches of Galatia, they were all founded by the direct ministry of an apostle. No apostle had ever been to Rome. And yet here was a church. A church of converted sinners. A church that was a living testimony. It was thriving even without this human leadership. The Romans were believers in Jesus Christ, and they were saved, as were all believers. But everybody could see this. They were saved solely on the merits of the Lord Jesus. Their faith, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, stood not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. As he writes later in Romans 3, they were justified freely by his grace. Now Paul looked at these people, sinners, from all parts of the empire, living under the shadow of the throne of Caesar. Nero, a mad, murderous rascal, living there and thriving. Why? Because, as the old gospel hymn puts it, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. That's why. They were living proof that there was power. And Paul's heart was rejoiced. And as he rejoiced, it made him think even more of the power of Christ's merits, because he realized even his own praise and prayers were on the merits of Christ. Notice what he said. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ. He says the very same thing in Romans 7:25. At the end of that chapter where he has been discussing the tremendous conflict in the believer. He's a believer in Christ and he's a new creature, but he's still in the flesh and he's still got the old man. And as there is this constant ongoing battle, and he realizes there's no power in the law at all to deliver him from the power of sin, he says, who shall deliver me from or out of the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he's saying is twofold. I thank God that the deliverance comes through the merits of Christ. But he's also saying, even my ability to come to God is through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's solely by the mediation of Christ that we have access to God. That's good news for sinners. Glorious news for sinners. And it's glorious news for saints. There is one God. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And here's the good news implicit in this. If you're a sinner, you're cut off from God. You can't work your way to God. You can't buy your way to God. You can't serve your way to God. You can't be baptized and get to God. You can't eat and drink at the Lord's table and get to God. There's nothing in this world can bring you nigh to God except the merits of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. That's the good news for sinners. And the good news for saints is that once you've made Christ your Savior and you've come to God through Him, then you can keep on coming. There is a way to the throne of God. That's a wonderful thing. There's a way to the throne of God. You couldn't get into the White House. You remember the newspapers around Christmas time were lamenting that President Bush wanted to make the Christmas celebrations a family time and spoke of all the homes of America, but his home was closed off, even to school kids. I think that those were griping criticisms. Anybody who'd have had the White House opened in December would have needed to be committed to a lunatic asylum. Nothing wrong with keeping it closed. But I'm simply making the point, you couldn't get in. I have walked past Buckingham Palace in London on many occasions. I've seen the soldiers in their bearskins walking up and down like clockwork. I've seen them changing their guard with all the pomp and the pageantry. But the gates have always been locked. I couldn't get in. And yet, I can get right to the throne of heaven any time, any place, under any circumstances. And not only can I get to the throne of heaven when I get there, it's not Gabriel the archangel that I get to talk to. It's not Mary the mother of Jesus I get to talk to, for they couldn't talk to me. But I can get straight to the throne of the Father Himself, the God who rules the universe, who upholds all things by the word of His power. I can get straight to the throne of God and have the ear of God by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the teaching of the whole New Testament. Paul told the Ephesians that they gave thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told the Colossians, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by or through Him. He wrote to the Hebrews in 13:15, by or through Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There is a way to God for saints and sinners through the merits of the Lord Jesus. There is power in the blood. Oh, let me tell you, nothing has changed that in the last 2,000 years of history. Nothing has changed it. One of the most chilling statements I ever heard was made by an Irish social democrat, he was called, an Irish Roman Catholic member of the local parliament in Belfast. A man who trained, I am told, for the priesthood in a very famous college in Southern Ireland many years ago. He's a dying man today. I hope he has learned better. But when Ian Paisley went into that parliament, they made what's called his maiden speech. Usually that's an occasion when all party members of whatever stripe are conciliatory and they make comments that are complimentary to the new member. But John Hume on that day got up and he sneered and he said, Dr. Paisley will find that he's not in the Ulster Hall, which in those days was the place he held his church services because his new church was just in building. The old church was not big enough to hold the crowds. He said, Dr. Paisley will find that he's not in the Ulster Hall now and that there's no power in the blood in this place. I sincerely pray that God has enlightened his mind in the meantime, for he is soon to stand before God. And he will find if there's no power in the blood for him, there's no power in anything else. There's only one merit that avails with God. That's the merit of Christ. There's only one obedience that has satisfied the law of God. That is the obedience of Christ. There is only one way of acceptance with God, and that is by faith in Jesus' merit. And Paul was rejoicing in the efficacy of the merits of Christ, in the power of Jesus' obedience unto death, to save sinners, to justify them completely, and establish them in a right standing with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.